tonight. Just did a phenomenal job. And amen. You can listen to anybody that has spoken. You can go to our website at thecitychurch.com. You can also download the podcasts. You can listen to them at any time. This Thursday night, Hector Santos will be here. He has an incredible prophetic gift. He's not goofy or weird, but it'll be a great blessing to you. And I pray that you can carve out time to be here. 4 weeks ago, when I started this series of Just One Step, I started with Genesis chapter 26. I just started talking about Isaac and how the Bible says that he waxed great, he went forward, and he grew until he became very great. And when I was going over my notes today and praying, I sensed that someone here today, that you just need to move ahead in your life. You need to move from here to there. I'm not telling you to move away from God, but I am telling you to move with God. And when you do, he will define your life better. He will show you what he wants for you. And then 3 weeks ago, I talked about further on in that same chapter how Isaac came upon some wells, four different wells that his father Abraham had dug, but the enemy had filled in. And I want you to know that the enemy is always trying to fill in your wells. He's always trying to steal from you and take away from you what the Lord wants to give to you. And then 2 weeks ago, I talked about the fact that there really are demons. Whether you believe it or not, there really are demons. And George Barna, he is the guru of statistics within Christianity. He said that over 60% of Christians don't believe that there are any such thing as demons. But if the enemy, if we're going through things in our lives that kill us, that steal from us, and destroy from us, we got to know where they come from and realize that we can be under the influence of them. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be self-controlled. I'm working on that right now. And alert. For your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You got to understand that there is a devil that wants to destroy you, and he wants to come into your life, into your home, into your family, and take everything you have. And until you realize that, he'll just come in there and have his way, and you'll be saying, God, what are you doing to me? And God's saying, I want you to serve me. It's the enemy that you're opening up the door. And I shared the story about how I was broken into at our farm, and somebody went in and they stole twice from me. And the first, before it ever happened, my boy said, you need to put a security system up. And I said, nah, I'm fine. I'm in the country. Who's going to drive up my long driveway? And they did. And they stole one four-wheeler. And then they said, Dad, you need to get that. I said, no, I'm okay. I got Smith & Wesson. I got Ruger. I got all those things protecting me, acting like I knew everything until, bam, I got broken into again. The enemy wants to come in and steal, kill, and destroy. And then last week, I talked about the three big doors that he comes in. In 1 John 2, it said, don't love the world or anything that's in the world, because for those who love the world, the Father, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything that is in the world, here's the three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They don't come from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires, they pass away, but the will of the Father, the will of God, lives on forever. And I talked about the antidote to those three things. The lust of the flesh is having integrity. It's not letting yourself down and opening yourself up to things that will take away who you really have been called to be. And that God isn't looking just for you and I to be happy all the time. Can you hear that today? If I hear one more time somebody say, well, all I want to be is happy. You know what used to make me happy? Three Big Macs. Four quarter pounders with cheese. But it didn't make me healthy. Hello. What you think makes you happy isn't always good for you. And God says, you got to lay that down. And then he says, the lust of the eyes, and that's the possessions. That's the I got to have it spirit. I want it spirit. Everything I see, if I can get it bigger and badder and shinier and newer, it's got to be better for me. And the antidote to that is generosity. Generosity breaks the spirit of greed in your life and mine. And then the pride of life, the antidote to that is to have humility. I love this little quote that I read, that a man on his face can never fall from that position. I love that. You stay humble before the Lord and you'll never fall. Because the Bible says God, he not only opposes the proud, the Bible says he sets himself against the proud, the prideful. Is that you today? Because that's one of the three big doors that the enemy will come right in your life. And today, I want to talk to you about keeping the door closed. And I believe that today that you can get there. You can make the decisions that'll get there. And this scripture is probably not on anybody's refrigerator, and it's probably not on anybody's mirror, but Luke in chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "And when an evil spirit leaves a person," which is Jesus is saying again, that can happen. He says, "When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest, but when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from." That's a daunting, realistic fact, isn't it? And it returns and it finds that its former home, house, body, temple, is all swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all come and they enter into that person and they live there. And so that person is worse off than they were before. What a story. I mean, what a word that Jesus says. And before I go any farther, I want everybody to know, I'm not thinking of anybody when I say this. So many times when I talk about what I'm going to share here, people will say, "I know you were talking about..." No, I'm not. I'm not talking about any of you. As my mom used to say when I was a kid, though, if the shoe fits, slide that baby on and learn something today. That's all I want to tell you, is learn something today. That it's not enough. Salvation, an experience at the altar, at the cross, a one time, a dab will do you, is not enough. Our walk with God is something that goes on and on and on. And that's why it's important for you to not just come to church when everything is going wrong. It's not enough that when your house is on fire that you want everybody to come and help you put that out. Or when somebody breaks in that you got to have everybody come and help you get that back. You need to have the security system on. You need to do the things every day that keeps the enemy away from you. And when he goes out from you and you get all better, guess what? If you don't fill that temple up with something greater than what you had, he's coming back. Whether you believe it or not, listen, from where I sit, I see this all the time. He's coming back, and he's not just coming alone this time. Because you had the experience with Jesus one time that got him out. Now, he's going to do something that he picked up from hanging around in heaven. He's going to bring the divine number of evil spirits. He's going to bring seven more back to try to lock you down and keep you held in that bondage. Well, the word is so true in this. The spirit leaves us when we have this encounter, and then we can have this experience on three different levels. The level one is that we have freedom. He leaves us and we're there. Woo, man, we got through that one, didn't we? Whoa, I missed that. I passed that one by. I got out of that mess. Amen. Boy, there's so many things that I just would like to say in all this, but I just got to keep on going. And then the second level is that we enter into, God lets us experience a level of prosperity. I got through the mess. I got out of the trouble. I got the job. I got everything. I don't need God anymore. I got what I need from him. I'll keep him over here. I'll keep him right up here if I need him again. The only problem with that is that the third level comes in, because he comes back in again and he brings seven times the power that he started with into your life. And I'm going to tell you, I could stand up here for the next hour and tell you stories where I've seen this happen over and over and over. I've seen it in families. I've seen it in couples. I've worked with couples tirelessly. I've met with my wife of night and day. I've met with them. We've stayed out late with them only to find out that they get through it just far enough to step right back in to the very mess that God brought them out of. Hello? I know I'm talking about some real stuff here right now, but you need to hear this, because if you're going to go where God wants you to, you can't mess with the enemy. You've got to rebuke him. You've got to stand up against him. And I'm talking to some dads here today. I'm talking to some men. You got to stand up in your house and say, not in this house. Devil, you got to go in Jesus' name. I'm not going to let him in. You go through the prosperity, you go through, and then you're in the bondage. And the pattern comes back again. And I see it. But God doesn't want that to happen. He wants you to be free. And Galatians 5:1 said, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Don't go back to that. Listen, can I just digress? Just for a minute, I gotta just a little bit. If God has set you free from alcoholism, I had this conversation. I'm going to use a conversation years ago. This couple said, well, God, the man said, he delivered me from pornography. And the woman said, he delivered me from alcoholism. Now I'm free and I can go out and have a drink every once in a while and I don't have to worry about it. And I'll never forget, I'm sitting in that table with that couple and I looked at the guy and I said, are you telling me that you can crack open a pornographic magazine because you've been set free from it and it won't bother you anymore? I wanted to look at him and I just wanted to reach across the table and choke him a little bit. I mean, in the spirit of Christ's love, anyways. God doesn't deliver you so you can go and be free to do the same thing over again. Come on today. And I don't care if it's alcoholism, if it's pornography, if it's drug addiction, if it's gambling. And we live in a town where that's so prevalent. People looking at that, I'm just going to say it. Like me or not, I am who I am. They're putting all the money into the... But people are saying, look at, boy, that place is prospering. We're doing good here. You know where they're getting that money from? Off the backs of people that have nothing after they go into that place. And you need to stay out of there. Prosperity will never be a part of your life if you walk in those doors and make it a habit. Amen? Yeah. Woo! That's not even in my notes. You get that for free. But this verse of scripture, listen, I'm not always like this. It's the first time you've been here today. I'm really nice. Aren't I? Somebody say amen to that? Ooh. Luke chapter 15, Jesus gives this parable, and you've heard this so many times about the parable of the son, one of the young sons. And I love this story because it really gives us a little bit of view of what's taking place here. And Jesus continuing, Luke 15, verse 11, he said there was a man who, he had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Now, there's a lot in that. Number one, they had a family. They were together. They were prosperous because they had an estate. And the son, the younger son, says, I want to give me my share now. I want it. And so the father, he divided it and he gave it to them. And I want you to remember that. In verse 3, it says, and not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And that I mean, we could talk about that for an hour. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine. You think? Yes! You squander, there's going to be a famine. Help me, Jesus, in that whole country. And then they began to be in need. And he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And there I'm starving to death. Number one, he came to his senses. You got to come to yourself sometime. You got to make a decision. What am I doing here? You may be in a mess. You may have gotten out of a mess and gone back in the mess. But sooner or later, you got to come to a place in your life where you're going to say, this is not me anymore. I can't live like this. I can't do that anymore. And you got to step out and take the step in the right direction so you don't live and experience that any longer in your life. Every one of us have got to experience this moment where we discover whom the Son sets free. He is free indeed. And I'm going to keep on going with God. And I'm not going to let that stuff pull me back into a hole any longer. I'm going to be free. I don't want to encourage you today. Maybe you need to take that step because it helps us to get where we can go. And the second thing is you got to take the step towards relying on God and on other people. You can't do it in your own strength. Luke 15, 18 says, I will go back to my Father. And I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. You know, the Bible says that God can do forgiving in our lives. The Bible says in 1 John 1, 9, that if we sin to confess our faults to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But there's a second part of the whole scenario in this that takes so much precedence, and it should be in our lives. In James 5, 16, you know, Jesus says in 1 John 1, 9, he'll forgive you of your sin. In heaven, you're clean. But on the earth, you need somebody else to help you. You can't do it in your own strength. The Bible says in James 5, 16, confess your faults one to the other that you may be healed. I need God to forgive me of my sin, but I need one another to help me to get to the place where I'm going to go. And God has made it so you can confess to him your sin, but he's made it so you can confess to one another. Hey, I need you. This is what I did. I messed up and I need the help in my life to get me where I need to go. Because no matter how dark it is, no matter where you find yourself today, I know that you're going to get there today.
I've been wandering around in the dark, been lost somewhere I know light could shine on my heart. I know this pain so deep, but I know my faith will free me, and I'll get through this, I'll find my way again. So don't tell me that it's over, 'cause each day I will get there.
I will get there somehow.
Cross that river.
Cross that river. Nothing's stopping me now.
I will get through the night.
Oh, yeah.
And make it through to the other side.
Get there.
Get there.
Get there.
I've been in these chains for so long, I've been bringing down me where I belong. Hold my head up high, I stand strong, and I swear this time I won't fall. I will do this no matter what it takes, 'cause I know no limitations, and I'll reach my destiny.
Yeah.
can do this, Ryan. Come on. Come on, Ryan. You can do this. Yes, Ryan. Come on. Come on. Come on. Anybody out there? We need some help here. Is anybody out there? Come on. Come on. We can help them. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, Ryan. You can do it. One step at a time, Ryan. One step, Ryan. Just one step, Ryan. You can do this, Ryan. Come on, Ryan. Here we go, Ryan. Here we go.
Come on. Come on. Can you give the Lord a big hand clap of praise today? You need people to help you get to where God wants to take you. You can't do it on your own. God wants to help you to get there. 2015 is going to be your year. You need people to help you get there. I want all the prayer folk to come on down. I want you to stand at the altar right now. I'm going to close in just one moment. This story is so packed with things in it because even the older brother that was left, he had to make a decision as well. There's some of you today, you've been going through things, but there's people in your life. There's a husband that maybe you've been away from God, or maybe a wife, maybe a son or a daughter. But there's somebody maybe in the home that you've helped create some of that stuff, and God wants you to know. You got to take the step to reject the lie of Satan in your life today. You got to take the step to let God tell you who you are instead of everybody and the enemy trying to tell you you're no good. You'll never amount to nothing. You're a failure. You're an addict. You're this, you're that. You're no good. You got to begin to believe what God says about you. You're brilliant. You're good looking. You have a destiny over your life. You have all the tools and the things in you that can create something great for your future. And then the Bible says, my son, the father said, you're always with me and everything that I have is yours. Remember in the beginning, when the Bible says that he divided up his estate, and Jewish tradition was that the oldest son would always get 2/3. And the rest of them would get, that oldest son not only had the 2/3 left, but the father says, everything. You got it all. You're worthy of it. You're worth this. Then you got to take the step to receive the truth that God speaks about you. You got to know that God is for you. You know, I was thinking about this. It came to me. I haven't thought about it for years. 20 years ago, and I think it was 20 years ago this month, my family, we were living in Seattle, Washington, broken, hurt, mess. And I'll forget going to a men's meeting on a cold, rainy Saturday morning with a friend that I'd known less than a year. And we got done with that meeting, and he sat there in the car, and he shut it off, and he turned over to me, and he said, what do you want to do? What do you want to be? And I'm like, what? He said, Marty, what's your dream? And I wouldn't tell anybody because I've been hurt so many times of people telling me, you're worthless. You never amount to nothing. When I was a little boy, my father, he would tell me, you'll never amount to anything. Had people through school tell me that. Anybody know that feeling? And he looked at me and he said, what's your dream? What do you want to do? And I just, that day, like I hope some of you do today, there's a boldness that rose up in me. I said, I want to move back to Western New York. I want to live on the farm. I want to be a pastor of a church. Brothers and sisters, I was so far from that. You're closer to doing that than I was then. Something happened that day, and he looked at me, and he said, you can do that. You can be that. You'd be a great pastor. You'd be a great leader. I want to tell some of you today, quit listening to the devil's lies. Quit letting him tell you you'll never amount to nothing. Quit letting him tell you you're a failure, you're this, you're that. I want to talk to some of you that are going through things. Quit letting people say you're an addict, I'm an alcoholic, whom the Son sets free. He's free indeed. Close your eyes just for a moment, because the Lord wants to help many of you today. I don't know how many of you are here. You're just tired of living in that spot. The enemy, you've experienced it, and then he's come back in. He's taken from you. Come back into your home. Come back into your family. He's assaulted you. Tried to tell you you're finished, you're done, it's up. But God sent me here this morning to refute that and to tell you what he says about you. You're incredible. You have a destiny. You have a future. You just got to take one step today. That's all you got to do. One step you take today, it'll change everything in your life. Some of you are here, your eyes closed, your head's bowed. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You got to do that. The enemy's having his way with you until you make him. I'm not talking about joining a church or a denomination. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That you know that he came into the world. He died for you. He wants to forgive you. There's not a sin you've ever committed that his blood isn't enough to cover and to set you completely free from today. Just as Dee said earlier, all you have to do, see those nail-pierced hands. Hallelujah. Some of you today, you've gone through something in your life. Maybe it's just of recent. The enemy has pulled all the steam right out of you. God says today is your day. He's going to turn your morning into dancing, your nighttime into noonday, your darkness into light, your hurt into joy. He's going to turn it around today. He's going to turn it around today in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray and I'm going to close. I'm going to open up the altar. If you've never given your heart to Christ, you need to come down and do that. If you're just wallowing in a mess in your life, in fact, even when I'm talking, I want you to get out of your seat. I'm going to close in just a moment. But you can come down right now. Don't wait another moment. Come right now. These folks are going to pray for you and believe God with your life today. Father, I thank you today. You need Jesus. You're in a mess. You're in a dark place. I'm feeling for some dads here today. Some dads, you need to take a stand in your home. Bring back the cross and the word of God in your home. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we're going to live. We're going to serve the Lord. Take up a greater standard in your home. Get rid of some stuff in your home. Quit going to the places that you're used to and begin to make Jesus number one. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for your grace, for your love, for your mighty hand upon your people that are here. Come on out of your seat right now. I'm going to close, and then you can come. But don't, why wait? Why sit there until you die? Why go through another year? You've been through it enough. Why do you want to keep on going that way? Come on. Father, I just thank you today for your love and for your grace, for your mighty hand upon this house right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. God, I just thank you for your hand upon your people today. Honey, I want you to come up and stand right up in the front of me here too. There's some women in here that you've had a broken heart. I really sense that. And I want my wife, she's going to pray for you this morning before we leave. This is going to be your greatest year yet. This old song that I heard this morning, it just started rolling in my heart and my spirit. Garrett, come on up here and help me with this. I'm going to close just a moment. We're going to close singing this song out of here. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Is that you today? God has a plan and a purpose for you. Father, now I just thank you for your love and for your mighty hand working in this house. Have your way, even in the next few moments as we depart from here. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen.